Welcome to the C3 Toronto podcast. We're so glad you're here. We're believing God is going to speak to you through this message today, right where you're at. Thanks for tuning in.
The last time we were here, how many of you were here last time we were here? All right, how many of you were not here last time we were here? All right, so there's 50-50. We're in that space here. All right, so, you know, Pastor Sam's bragging about us and whatever. All I got to say is this: to know us is to love us. Praise God. That's all I got. Nothing else other than that. But since the last time we're here, the truth is, Georgie and I have been to hell and back. Hell and back. You might be like, well, there's a good introduction. That's got our attention. As in, you know, it's like, I thought we were faith moving. I thought we were about faith. We are. But the truth is, Georgie and I, we went to hell and back. On January 12, 2023, which is obviously last year, I went to see the doctor. How many of you know we love the doctors? We love the medical fraternity. I went to see my doctor because I was meant to fly out to Cambodia. We've got a location up there. We've got a location in Japan, praise God. I don't know whether we've got Koreans or Japanese in the house tonight, but I reckon we're probably all here. And we were speaking to our babies. I got a Japanese son-in-law, and they're about to move back to Japan. So by the time we get home, they have left Australia. So I'm here, so I'm not there crying. That's why we're here, because we've got two little Japanese rugrats that are awesome, and I love them to bits. But anyway, it's another story. And so I was meant to fly out to Cambodia on the 13th. I knew I wasn't well. How many of you have been in a place where you don't know what's going on, but you know you're not well? I was in that place, and so I went with Georgie to see the doctor, walked in, and the doctor's part of our church. He's a lovely guy, and from Nigeria, and we went in, and as I sat down in that seat, I started to cry. Now, I'm a crier at the best of times. I always cry. I'm crying when my football team wins, praise God. I'm crying good times, bad times. I'm a crier. But how many of you know there's crying and there's crying? This crying that started was a different type of crying. I sat down and I started to cry, and I cried. I wish I could say I got it out and it was all good, but it wasn't. I started crying, and I cried for 63 days straight. Yeah, all was right. 63 days in a row, sometimes for up to 3 hours at a time. I found myself on the carpet. I found myself drowning in my own tears. I was broken. I was shattered. I was upside down. Long story short, I was diagnosed with severe depression. The question is, how does a fun monkey like me get severe depression? You know what I mean? It's an oxymoron. It's like different ends of the spectrum, but that's where it began. And that's, you know, from there, I had to begin the hardest journey of my life. I've been on some journeys, but never one like that. For the next 4 to 5 months, I was largely on the couch. We would watch church online, and I would just cry all the way through church. Any worship song, I would cry. I was just a basket case at the end of the day. So that was until the middle of the year. In the second half of the year, we were probably back to 30, 40, 50%, and we started to get back into life. Then last weekend, so by the time we got back to this year, we're well and truly back in. As we step back in this year, I got to tell you, last weekend for us was a great joy. We baptized 219 people at Enjoy Church last weekend. Last Thursday night, we didn't have a Good Friday service in Cambodia. We launched a brand. So we got a location in Phnom Penh, and then we're planting a new location in a place called Siem Reap, which is where Tomb Raider and all those places happen. Yada yada yada. And so we're launching a location up there. And so first service, first time out, whatever you want to call it, launch, that's what it was. It's a good Thursday launch because the Friday, they had to travel 6 hours from Phnom Penh to get there. So they drove up and studios drove up, whatever. And then we had over 600 people come out to the launch of our 16th location in Cambodia, praise God. We've never had that many at anything, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's unbelievable. And so last weekend, when it comes to Enjoy Church, we had the biggest weekend we have ever had, period, full stop. Our finances are strong, life is good. And so why am I saying all that? Because this is what I want to talk about tonight. How is it that we can go from the year of hell, and it's like, you might think that's an exaggeration. That's not an exaggeration. As in, if you've ever been bitten by the black dog, she's an ugly dog, you know what I'm saying? It's a horrible, horrible place to be. When it comes to repentance for the first half of last year, I'm still repenting for the first half of last year, if you know what I'm talking about. It is a bad place to be. But we went from the worst year of our life Now we're celebrating the best weekend of church that we have ever had. How is it that we can be in such a strong place, a buoyant place, a faith-filled position as we are? And so this is where we're going to jump into tonight. Two things. Are you ready now? All right. How did we come back? How have we made such a strong comeback? One, it's the good grace of God. Amen. Give God praise if you believe that right about there. Maybe some of you are here, and as I'm already talking about this, you're like, I've been there, or I've been touched by that. You know what I'm talking about. And I thank God for the good grace of God. But you know what else I thank God for? I thank God for the fact that we are surrounded at Enjoy Church by uncommon leaders. Uncommon leaders. Now, I'm well aware in this room there are many uncommon leaders. I'm aware of that because you don't just become this church. This church has become this church because of great leadership, uncommon leaders. I know my role. I know George's role. I know our role together. But just how is it that our church can go from strength to strength when we're down and out? We're on the mat. You know what the Bible says? That the enemy, he's going to strike the shepherd so the sheep will what? Scatter. That wasn't our story though. We got struck, we got kicked in the head, we got kicked in the heart, we got kicked everywhere. But at the end of it all, church, praise God, is as good as it's ever been. All right, so uncommon leadership. You guys taking notes tonight?
Yeah.
I have no doubt that you are, praise God. All right, here we go. Uncommon leadership begins with spirit. Spirit. Numbers 14, verse 24. There's going to be a whole lot of scripture in here. It's coming your way. Praise God. Because my servant Caleb has a different spirit. It's a different spirit. You want to be an uncommon leader? You've got to have a different spirit. And follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. In the New American Standard Bible here, it says there was an extraordinary spirit in him. It wasn't ordinary, it was extraordinary. It's not a common spirit, but it's an uncommon spirit. And doesn't it make sense that you and I, and all of us that are in Christ Jesus, would have a different spirit? We would have an excellent and an extraordinary spirit, because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, how many of you know this is a reality? That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Dwells in you. I don't know about you. I think about the reality of that, the wonder, the power of that. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in each and every one of us. For me, last year, even though I got to tell you, it was brutal. It was brutal. The first 6 months of last year, brutal. But one of the greatest things for me personally was to be able to sit back on the couch and watch our sons and daughters in the faith rise up like champions. I got to tell you, it was crazy, crazy. We have our summit in the month of February. And as we're sitting on the couch crying, I got people sending texts because our year last year was themed legacy. Legacy. In the year of legacy, we're missing in action because I'm blah, 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 if you know what I'm saying. But as we're sitting on the couch watching the summit unfold, I got brothers and sisters sending messages saying, this is your legacy. You watch your legacy. This is, and I got to tell you, in a strange way, it was crushing, but it was so exciting to watch the sons and the daughters of the house rise up like the champions that we know them to be. Some of the indicators and signs of those who have an uncommon spirit are they are motivated by love. Motivated by love. You know what I think is missing in lots of churches? Not this one. I've been here, but in lots of leaders. Maybe that's a better place to begin. What I think is missing, to be honest, if I can just be really bluntly honest with you, in a lot of leaders is this wonder of love. Love. We talk about love. We sing about love. We do. But real love coming from a leader to those they lead. Friends, can I encourage you today? As in, I don't want to be a noisy gong. I can be noisy, but I don't want to be a noisy gong. I can speak in tongues and I can do this and I can do that. But if I don't have love, at the end of the day, how many of you know it really doesn't amount to much? In John chapter 13, verse 35, it says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you, what? if you love one another. If you love one another. You know what I think? So if it's missing in the leader, it's probably going to be missing in the church. I know it's not missing in your leaders and it's not missing in this church. But can I ask you today, where is the love factor in your life? Where is the love factor? When we're not in this room, when we're out throughout the week and we're doing what we're doing, where is the love reality that is moving you and stirring you to action to be someone that's different to the majority of the people walking up and down your streets? I honestly believe that God is looking and cheering on the church that just has a heart to love a lost and broken community, a lost and broken world. But how many of you know we don't need to go outside sometimes to find lost and broken? I was very lost and I was very broken, but do you know what I received last year? I received more love than I've ever received before, from all the strangest and the most beautiful of places. Point number two, they are selfless in their endeavors, selfless. I believe that uncommon leaders are selfless. Selfless, selfless, selfless. Philippians, praise God. Are there any Filipinos in the house, just out of curiosity? Oh, praise God. I love the spring rolls. Thank you so much for the spring rolls. Oh, man, you changed my life. All right. So back to the book of Filipinos, praise God. Each of you should not only look after your own interests, but also the interest of others. Also the interest of others. I like the fact that it doesn't say don't look after your own interests at all here, but we've got to look after the interest of others. Friends, can I encourage you, be selfless in your endeavors. Be selfless in the way you live your life. I love the appeal for the summer leaders, for what? Yeah, connect group. We call them friendship groups. Same. And it's like, my friends, can I encourage you? It's like, be selfless. Look for the opportunity to serve one another. Look for the opportunity to love one another. Look for the opportunity. Just rise up and step into that space. What else are they? They are relentless in their commitment. I love this church for its relentless commitment. As in, it doesn't matter how many times you get punched in the face, you just keep getting up. I don't know about you, I love that. It's like the psalmist wrote, I get knocked down, but I get up again. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's what it says, doesn't it? Something like that. A righteous man falls seven times, but he gets up again. Just keeps getting up, keeps getting up, keeps getting up. Can I encourage you? Keep getting up. Don't stop doing it. Don't stop pursuing. Don't stop speaking 10,000 people. Don't stop. I know there's a lot of people will tell you all the reasons why it's impossible, but you know what God says about impossible? It's not really that impossible with God, is it? All things are possible to those who believe. All things. Philippians chapter 3, relentless. Here we go. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining forward toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to be put off. I'm going to keep on going. I hear what they are saying. I hear what they are saying, but I don't care what they are saying, and I don't care what they are saying. I'm going to keep getting up, and I'm going to keep getting up, going after everything God has put in my heart. You know what? I'd encourage you all. As in, there are so many things in your pastor's hearts. Hear the cry of the heart and keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on. Yes, you will get pushed in the face. You will get punched in the face. You will get knocked down. But if you get up again and you get up again, how many of you know you're going to wear the enemy out? Just keep getting up and smile even more. You know what I'm saying? Keep getting up and keep on going. They carry their father's heart. Here we go. They carry their father's heart. Uncommon leaders carry their father's heart. We began talking about fathers, and that's where it started. But sons and daughters, you know what I love about our world? This one thing got asked at Enjoy more than any other question last year when Georgie and I were out. And in our leadership forums, it was, what would Pastor Shane and Georgie want? What would Pastor Shane and Georgie want? They had the opportunity. They had the reins. I gave them the reins as I stepped out. I didn't have any choice about stepping out. I had to step out, but I gave them the reins, and they had the reins. They could do whatever they want, but all they wanted to do was what we would want them to do. Why? Because they carry our heart. In John chapter 5, 19 and 20, it says here, Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does, yet to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. Even greater things. Friends, you know what I believe? If we're going to see 10,000, you're going to do greater things than these. You're going to do greater things than these. But the only way you're going to do greater things than these is if you carry the Father's heart, because God will entrust to who can be trusted. Those who have been given a trust must prove themselves what? Faithful. So can I encourage you to lean in and know what is on your Father's heart? Now, as I said, there's a tide going out at the moment where it's like we don't want spiritual fathers, we don't want spiritual mothers. We all want to be like equal and like let's bring it back and let's pair it back and pair it back. But I want to go back to the Bible. I don't know about you. I want to stay in the Bible because that's where the blessing flows from. Doesn't actually matter what they say, what they think, what they're doing. Typically, as I look upon those places and spaces, they're not bearing the sort of fruit that I would necessarily want to bear anyway. But they seem to have big voices, whatever. Friends, I want to encourage you, know who your spiritual father is. Know who your spiritual mother is. Hear their heart. Know their heart. Know their heart. We have a girl. She's been with us over 25 and a half years. Her name is Louise Arioka. Louise was on our board when we came to the church. There was 40 people in the church, and she got asked, as the previous pastor left, would you like to be on the board? She thought, well, I go to church on Sunday morning. What else? I'll be there. So she goes, yeah, I'll be on the board. She had no idea what she was getting herself into, but she has been on this incredible journey with us. There's a verse, I think it might be 1 Kings chapter 4 verses 25 to 29. I'll have a stab there. See how we go, eh? And it talks about the district officers, each in their month, how they would supply provisions for King Solomon and all who came to the king's table. Everyone that came, they would supply provisions for that period of time. And then the very last sentence there, it says there, they saw to it that nothing was lacking. They saw to it that nothing was lacking. That's a really interesting, just a very short sentence, but so powerful. How can you see to it as a leader that nothing is lacking if you don't know what is required? If you will carry your father and mother, spiritual speaking, if you will carry your pastor's hearts and you will know what makes their heart tick, what they're believing for, what they're looking for, what they're searching for in God, then when it's your time to bring whatever it is that you need to bring, then in that moment, in that space, you will be able to see to it that nothing is lacking. Friends, can I encourage you, carry their hearts. What else are they? They are faithful and true. Uncommon leaders are faithful and true to the house. We can talk about integrity. Integrity is an interesting word, isn't it? It's not necessarily celebrated everywhere like it should be. We're going to celebrate the prophetic, and we're going to celebrate the gifts, and we're going to celebrate all of these things. But this reality of integrity, friends, I got to tell you, for me, and in this season of life, this is what I believe, men and women will be known for their integrity. Integrity isn't a public event. Integrity isn't celebrated or applauded. But men and women of integrity are going to advance the kingdom of God, because God will trust men and women of integrity. Friends, I want to encourage you today to be faithful and true to the house. You know the vision of the house. You know what it is that you're looking to achieve. Can I encourage you to walk with integrity before the Lord in regards to these issues? Back to the Filipinos, praise God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you. How many of you know if he was Australian, it'd be Timmy right there? But anyway, that's for another day. Lord Jesus, send Timmy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. What a joy it is for fathers to be able to talk about Timothy's, to be able to talk about their sons and their daughters in the faith, because they've worked side by side, they've labored together, they've had rocks thrown at them together, they smiled together, they bounced up, they got knocked down, they get up again, they continue to journey on to see the goodness and the glory of God. What else are they? They are examples of humility. Uncommon leaders are examples of humility. Proverbs 22 verse 4 says, humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. Can I encourage you as brothers and sisters in Christ tonight? Like, I've come a long way. Like I said, my brain is out here somewhere. But I just want to encourage you, please, please, please remain humble. Now, I'm not talking, you know, we've got a friend who talks about humble as being 50% hum and 50% bull, you know what I'm saying? But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about remain humble in the Lord. In our world, unfortunately, we're watching some really good guys falling over at the moment, making really bad decisions, dumb decisions, call it whatever you want, bad decisions. They're falling over. But you know what? I honestly believe if we'll remain humble before the Lord will be able to draw us back before we're completely stupid. I said to Georgie, like last year, I was mad, but I wasn't stupid. How many of you know there's a difference? I thank God, I was in a bad, bad place, but I thank God I didn't disqualify myself. Friends, I want to encourage you tonight to remain humble. And then finally, they understand what it is to honor one another. Honor one another. You know what we saw in our sons and daughters as we were out? We saw them honoring one another, showing preference to one another, celebrating one another. They honored one another. And I've got to tell you, for me, it was the most beautiful thing. It was the most beautiful thing. 25 years in the making, then came the year from hell. But you know what we saw? We saw the goodness and the kindness of God. I believe that what's on us is upon you. I believe what's upon our house, upon your house. What's on your house, we need upon our house. How many of you know we can encourage each other? Like iron sharpens iron, we can stir each other up to believe for the greatest days of our life. Uncommon leadership is uncommon because it's different. We talk about these things, and it's like, but these are the fundamentals of Christ-likeness, of Christ's character. And it's like, yes! Good point. They are the fundamentals, and that's where we want to live. I think we have focused on many, many, many things. But friends, can I encourage you? You cannot ever leave the characteristics of Christ. You can't step away from this place. I want to encourage you to lean in. Mark chapter 10, verse 43 says, but among you, it should be quite different. Whoever wants to be a leader, anybody want to be a leader? Don't read it. Don't read too much now. Don't read too much. Anybody want to be a leader? Yeah, I'm hoping you do. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. How many of you know that's the deal right there? Must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. And everybody said, amen. Uncommon leadership is identified, here we go, by its DNA or in its DNA. How many of you know you've all got DNA? How many of you know you brought your DNA tonight? How many of you are planning to take it home? We've all got DNA. It's with us. It's in us. We can't help it. DNA is transferred. Through my DNA, you can tell who my parents are and you can tell who my children are, who my grandchildren are. I've worked out why they're called grandchildren because they're way better than children. Praise God. It's just like, I tell my daughter all the time, I should have had these kids first. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how that works exactly, but it would work for me. But they're awesome. If my father was here, you could tell he's my father. As in, we've both got great faces for radio, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's in the DNA. I can't escape it. Whenever my dad walks in, people go, boo! It's like, as in these days, I get up, I walk into the ensuite, I look in the mirror, and I say, morning, Al, because that's my dad's name, you know what I mean? It's like, it's in the DNA. DNA can be great, it can be tragic, but it is in the DNA. So Georgie and I, we're down and out for the first half of last year, but church doesn't miss a beat, continues on. I was like, what about the scattering? I thought this thing would be over. I'm sure the enemy thought it'd be over, but it wasn't over. It actually didn't miss a beat because what was in us has been transferred into our spiritual children, into our sons and daughters in the faith. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 25, it says, and the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses. He took some of the spirit that was upon Moses and put it upon the 70 leaders. Now, I don't know about you, but this is getting funky. You know what I'm saying? It's like God is taking and he's putting and taking and putting. And what I love about our sons and daughters is I don't want them to be me because they're not called to be me. How many of you know the world can only handle one? You know what I'm saying? It's like the church can only handle one. But there is something on me that is to come upon them, and then something upon them that is to come upon them, and that's how you're going to get the 10,000 people. How many of you know they're not going to be able to do it all, so it's going to be transferred, but the DNA has to remain true, and the DNA has to stay the same. And so we're going through the worst year of our life. Church is strong. It's amazing. Attendances were strong. Finances are strong. Salvations are strong. It all just kept on moving. Because what was on us over 25 years had come upon them. Now, Pastor Sam and Jess, they know our key guys really, really well. And they're a motley crew, if I can say that. As in, none of us came through the right streams. Where, you know when David was down at the cave of Adullam and everybody that was discontent and in debt and distressed, they went to David. That's our team right there. It was like, they're a motley crew, but you know what? They're awesome. They are so passionate. They love each other. They love us. They love God. They love their spouses. They love their congregations. They love Enjoy Church. And so when this happens, you begin to see God move in a way that this doesn't really make sense. Because the script for everybody else, the common thing that happens is this, but we're not common and we don't want to be common. You are not common, and I want to encourage you, don't be common. Don't buy into everything that's being put out there, because most of what's being put out there isn't actually working. You know what I'm saying? But you are reaching your city. You are multiplying over and over. Because how many of you know, it's not about 10,000 people. It's about 10,000 people. You know what I'm saying? Hey, it's like people say, oh, are you in the numbers? Heck yes, I am. Oh, you reckon Jesus isn't? Because they're people. They're individuals. I don't know about you. I want to see Toronto saved. Anybody else want to see Toronto saved? I want to see Canada saved. As in we're cousins, you know that, eh? It's like the Queen was our mum or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So now we're cousins, and it's like well, there's so many similarities. And I look at some of your challenge. I was watching the news this morning, and I'm like, this is like watching the news in Melbourne. All the same issues between the stabbings, praise the Lord, between the stabbings and the high prices of everything and families that are struggling and this. And it was just like listening to our news. It was incredible. But anyway, Philippians, back to the Filipinos, praise God. In chapter 2, verse 19, but I trust the Lord Jesus to send Timothy. Now, this is the New King James Version. I've read it in a different translation before. Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded. Friends, can I encourage you to allow your mind to be renewed? Allow your mind to be renewed. Some of us want to hang on to things. Just allow God in there. Allow God in there. Trust God. Allow your mind to be renewed. I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus, but you know his proven character. How many of you would like it said of you, your character has been proven? Proven, you know, it just takes a little bit of time. As in, sometimes I watch my friends, I got friends that promote people really quickly, bring people on staff really quickly, and I'm like, here we go. 10, 9, 8, it takes time to prove character. It takes time. But you know what? It's a beautiful thing. That's why I look at my sons and daughters in the faith, and we just delight in them. They are sons and, like, they're sons and daughters. Not like, they are. Especially since my Japanese son-in-law took my other daughter and children away. Praise God. So now I've got to lean into these sons and daughters. For all seek their own. But this guy's got a proven character that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. How do you see yourself in the house? Are you a son or daughter, or is this just where you go to church? You go to church. Now, like I said, there's a pushback on some of this. There's a pushback on serving in the house of God in Australia. I'm like, that's the devil talk right there. As in, and I understand that some people haven't been wise. I get that. I understand that. But how many of you know we shouldn't allow experiences to change the gospel? As in, if I'm called to be a servant of all, I'm called to be a servant of all. I start by serving. That's where I start in the house of God. All right, so if I can't be there myself, the next best thing is a true son or daughter in the faith. So last year, we were out. But you know what? Our sons and daughters just rose up. They made phone calls to certain people, trusted people around the space and place, and they talked, and they got their stuff together. typically two of those guys would call me each week just to check in, make sure we're okay, check in on some things, that decisions they may have been making, but on the whole, they had the reins. Now, sons and daughters, here we go. Take note of this. Sons and daughters are identified by heart and spirit. Heart and spirit. Some of my sons and daughters are older than me. Many are younger now, probably because I'm getting older. And it's like, so I still have sons and daughters. They would say they are my spiritual sons and daughters, but they're older than I am, which is wild, eh? Some of them are white, like this guy. Some of them, as in anyone that's, that knows me knows I refer to my Nigerian angels. When I went upside down, I got six Nigerians. My key intercessors are Nigerians. They're both mental health experts. I've got my own psychiatrist, praise the Lord. And I never had a psychiatrist until last year, but I have one now. And so he and his wife, they are both Nigerian. And my GP and his wife, who is also a doctor, they are all Nigerian. I call them my Nigerian angels. But they see me as their spiritual father. I find it really interesting. In my time of need, I was able to lean into my sons and daughters, and they were able to serve their spiritual dad in a way that they probably never, ever thought possible. Heart and soul is, and being a son and daughter, is not an issue of skin color. It's an issue of heart and spirit. As if you were to come to Enjoy, you'd know there's over 100 nationalities that enjoy church. We're from all over the world. I'm the most politically incorrect Skippy the Bush Kangaroo in the world. Like, I am politically incorrect. I don't want to be. I just got a naughty sense of humor and I love everybody and I think we're all in it together and we just have fun together. That's beautiful. Beautiful. I got to tell you, these people served Georgie and I in the most precious way. They ministered to us. When I was down and out and beat up and bad, they would just come in and minister life. Oh, thank God for them. All right, sons and daughters are with you heart and soul. With you heart and soul. So yeah, I love the story where Jonathan is climbing up and the armor bearer is coming up and Jonathan's like, he gives him this plan. How many of you know it was the dumbest plan in the world? If they say, come on up, we know that's the Lord saying, it's like, it should be the other way around. It should be like, run for your life and I'll follow you, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, no. He's like, yeah, if they say, come up, we'll go up. And it's like, I am with you heart and soul. I'm thinking you're stupid. It's a dumb plan. But how many of you know sometimes your leaders know stuff that you don't know? How many of you have worked that out? Sometimes they know stuff we don't know. And I was like, wow, there's a thought, praise God. Sons and daughters speak the same language with the same accent as their parents. Speak the same language with the same accent. There's a thought, eh? It's like, never thought about the accent. How many of you know, in this room, you've all got accents? George and I are the only people, actually, you don't have an accent. You don't have an accent. Yeah, there's a few of us don't. I went to get a coffee. And yesterday morning, and I said, I'm here for C3. And the guy goes, I know C3. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, the pastor there's got as broad an accent as you do. That's what he said. I'm like, I love that guy. Anyways, so, same language, same accent. How many of you have worked out you can be in the room saying the same thing with a different accent? Who should change the accent, the sons and daughters or the mums and the fathers? Yeah. We want to follow our leaders, don't we? We want to hear what is being said and we want to say it the same way. We want to, that's integrity right there. As in we don't want it to come out with a, because if you put a different emphasis on words, it can come across really different. And you know that as well as I do. But anyway, we'll leave it for another day. All right, sons and daughters know what's important. Do you know what is important? Do you know what is important? Do you know what's important to C3? Do you know what's important to Pastor Sam and Jess? Do you know what's important? One thing I worked out over the last 12 months, there's a lot of things that I thought were important that probably aren't that important. They're probably not that important. But do you know what's important? What's important is what's important to God. What's important to you is what's important to your leaders. You want to know that. You want to hear that. Sons and daughters lay down their lives for their flock. For their flock, sons and daughters will lay down their life. As in, all of our guys and girls, they all left incredible jobs, promotions, things, money, finance, the whole deal. They left it all. Why? Because they love the flock. They love what God is doing. They want to be a part of it. That's what sons and daughters do. You know, you'll be asked at times to lay down your life, maybe to lead a connect group. You'll be asked at different times to lay down your life for different things. Friends, I want to encourage you, when the invitation comes, count the price. Are you a son or a daughter? All right, here we go. Uncommon leadership, stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 says, I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it, but I found none. Zilch, zero, nobody. That's a sad day, isn't it? When God is looking for someone but can't find anyone. Now, the truth is, that was not the case for Georgie and I. When we were looking for people to stand in the gap all around Enjoy Church, across the locations of Enjoy, people stood up everywhere and they stepped in. Not because they were on staff, although obviously our staff did, not because there was some sort of financial reward or promotion, but simply because they were sons and daughters. That's what sons and daughters do. They see the need, they stand up. They see the need, they step in. They see the need. As in, sometimes we overcomplicate it. I reckon we need to get back to a very simple gospel. Why do we try to overcomplicate everything and put so many steps between us and or between them and what God is wanting them to do? Let's uncomplicate it so people can step in and lay hold of what God has got for them. These sons and daughters had a different spirit, but the same DNA. Same DNA. Here's some quick fire of thoughts just as we come to a conclusion tonight. Character is better than gifts. Character is better than gifts. How many of you have got a character? How many of you are characters? How many of you think the person beside you is a character? Character. Character is better than gifts. Praise God for gifts. He gives them out. How many of you know, though, that character is worked for? You got to work for your character. You got to die to yourself for your character. Gifts are given freely. Commitment is better than talents. Sometimes we have people come into our world, they're very, very talented, but very uncommitted. As in, because they're so busy doing everything else and doing this and doing that. Commitment, praise God for sons and daughters that are committed. Love is better than promises. Love is better than promises. I promise you, I'm going to do this, I will do that, I'm going to be here. Where are they? Love does not let us down. Love speaks and follows through. Consistency is better than flair. Consistency is better than flair. I know we all want to be able to shoot lightning out of our fingertips, I get that. But just give me someone who is consistent. You don't need to shoot lightning out of anywhere. Just be consistent. Just keep turning up. Be where you're meant to be. Integrity is better than riches. Integrity is better than riches. Friends, can I encourage you, please, please, please keep your integrity. Keep your integrity before the Lord. Keep your integrity before each other. Honor is better than a good reputation. Honor is better than a good reputation, and humility is better than courtside seats, praise God. Although if I could have been at the Raptors game last night, but anyway, that's another story. Now, in a perfect world and in the fullness of time, Lord permitting, let's hope, believe and pray that we can have all of these things. But when gifts, talents, promises, flair, riches, a good reputation and courtside seats become the goals of our faith, the chances are you're not going to end up where Christ would want to take you, because we're going to be focusing on the wrong things. This is common ground for common man and common leaders. But when we commit to a life of faith, which you are committed to, that's why you're out on a wet, cold, rainy night in Toronto, that's seen through the character of Christ. The character of Christ. I learned a lot of things last year when I was on the mat. I learned a lot of things about myself. I learned a lot of things about our leaders. I learned a lot of things about the people we lead. I learned a lot of things about what I actually want to lead, what I want to be a part of. You know, as I said before, I thank God for the numbers. But the numbers only represent individual lives. And every individual life is important to God. My hope, my desire, as long as I have breath in these lungs, is to help as many people as I possibly can to become like Christ. We want to make disciples, not just fill churches. We want to come back to the character of Christ and living a Christ-like life. Because in doing that, we will raise uncommon leaders and they'll go out and change the world. Change the world. You guys and girls are called to change the world. Change the world. All of you. Change the world. I took a photo, I don't know, middle of February. I went back to our 43rd year high school reunion. And as we walked through the passages and we got to the principal's office, and I took a photo of Georgie and I out the front of the principal's office, little selfie. Because halfway through year 11, I got invited to the principal's office. And I was politely told to never come back. That's where I was expelled from. They still got the same sign out the front. It was awesome. We got invited to that school reunion specifically to pray for that year. Now, if you know this school, it was the most ungodly school in the area that we grew up. And to get invited back to pray, I was like, what the heck? So we made time to get there and pray. I don't know how you see yourself. I would have been the most unlikely of the unlikelies to do anything for God. I didn't even know God. I didn't want to know God. I grew up in church, but I didn't want to know God. Because most of the God people I knew just whatever, and there was no appetite. Not until I got alcoholic poisoning and was unconscious in the Aubrey Base Hospital and encountered Christ. And I came out a Jesus freak. It's amazing how you get rolled in unconscious. One encounter with God, you come out different. I hated last year, but I loved last year. I hated so much about it. It smashed me in ways that I didn't even know would be possible. But I've seen the goodness of the Lord. I've seen sons and daughters rise up. I've seen men and women doing now the impossible. It's like the whole thing lifted and Georgie and I stepped back in and it's still here. And I thank God for that. I want to pray for every man, every woman in this room tonight that is like, Shane, I want to be a son and daughter of this house. I want to be a son and daughter of my pastors. Most importantly, I want to be a son and daughter of God that's true to the call of God upon my life. I want to walk in your character, grow in your traits. I want to live a life that's going to bring glory and honor to the Father, that we might see 10,000 plus come out. 10,000 plus. If that's you, can you just stand to your feet? Just stand wherever you are right now. If that's you, you're like, I'm all in. I want to give my life to the greatest cause of all. I want to become like Christ. I want to become like Christ. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. Father, I pray for my brothers. I pray for my sisters. Lord, I love this church. You love this church. You love this church way more than I love this church. But Lord, I love this church. I love the pastors that are here. I love what you're doing through them, and I love what you're doing through us as a congregation. Lord, I pray blessing, blessing, blessing be upon every one of these dear, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I speak your blessing over them. I speak your favor over them. Lord, I pray, Almighty God, as we all grow into your likeness, I pray that we would see your kingdom come. I pray, Lord God, Lord, for Pastor Sam and Pastor Jess. I pray, Lord God, for them. I pray, Lord God, for the other pastors that are here. I pray, Lord God, for every leader that is in the room. I pray, Lord God, for everyone that's on the team. I pray, Lord God, we would truly be a family that represents the kingdom of God. Family that represents your name, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord God, we'd all grow in what it means to be a son and daughter in the faith. I pray, Lord God, that we would all have spiritual fathers. We'd all have spiritual mothers. We'd all have spiritual brothers. We'd all have spiritual sisters. And in the fullness of time, we'd all have spiritual sons and daughters. That we would continue to go and grow, reach for the people that you're calling us to reach. Lord, I pray, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, do a work in us that we might see your glory, that we might truly know what it is to be a disciple of Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord God, work in all of us. Work in all of us that your kingdom would come through all of us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen.
Thanks again for tuning in. If you want to support this ministry, we invite you to give online. We'd love to see you on Sunday. Check out our website at c3toronto.com for online service times and how to get connected. And follow us on social media for real-time updates.